Racing HQ is brought to you by TAB. Get a bonus bet up to $50 for second and third on selected races this weekend. Gamble responsibly.
On Racing HQ, time now for Chinwag with Cozzy.
And 27 to 11, this time last year, this gentleman was riding at the Oaks meeting at Flemington. Unfortunately, he's a spectator today. Blake Shin, morning, Blake.
Good morning, Sean. How are you going?
I'm good, mate. It must be frustrating. 12 months ago, you were there, you were on Lover Lover, you were part of the action, and this time, that rotten, busted neck, you're out.
Yeah, unfortunately, I won't be there today competing, which is a little bit disappointing, but, you know, it is what it is. Things could be worse. Luckily I'm still standing and I'll be able to get back riding hopefully in the near future, mate. So I'll be watching them anyway from afar.
Blake, the neck injury, it looked horrible when it happened. How is it at this stage now? Are you ahead of with your progress, or are you just on target with it?
To be honest, I think I'm a little bit behind time. I wish I was ahead of time, hoping that I was back being able to ride track work maybe in a few more weeks. But I feel, I can only go by how my body feels and how the recovery's going. And I feel it's going a little bit slower than I want. I'm doing some, a fair bit of physio work and some weight exercises to build up the strength in my triceps and neck region. And, that's coming along well, but I still have a little bit of pain in my arm, and the mobility isn't 100%. And I won't return until I'm 110%. And when that is, I'm hoping that's not too far away, but, time will tell.
Blake, if you injure a limb, a leg or an arm or whatever, there are specific exercises you should do, but with a neck injury, that's an interesting one. What exercises can you do to strengthen everything?
Oh, look, it is interesting. The first sort of 6 weeks I was in a neck brace, which obviously you can't do any exercises. You're just stabilised and you can't really move around. And then once you get out of the neck brace, you're so stiff and you basically got to let your neck sort of find its way a little bit. And a little bit when you go to the physio for the first time, they just like you to ease your way back into it. And once your neck starts to find its way, then you can, work on more specialised exercises to build up the strength, because you lose a lot of muscle tone around that area. And it's something, obviously, that I've never experienced before for a wonderful physio. And, it's going well, but like I said, it's frustrating in the sense that I'm not able to be riding. But like I said, when we first chatted, I'm lucky not to be in a lot worse position, mate.
Blake, that fall that day in the barrier trial back in August, a lot of falls happen. They happen so quick, it happens, you don't even realise you've hit the deck. But that day, the horse went sideways. You would have had time, I reckon, to think as you were coming down then.
No, I didn't. It was a split second thing. I can remember everything up until the incident. He was a horse that was a 4-year-old having his first trial, and I'd done a little bit of track work on him, and he was quite a timid horse. And he jumped out of the barriers, and he was a little bit timid out of the barriers. And I was at the tail of the field, and I thought, well, I'll just give him a little bit of education. And there was an opportunity for me to come up the inside, and it was about a 2-horse gap for me to go up the inside of Hugh Bowman. And I thought, that's enough room for me to give him a bit of confidence to learn. And when he went to go up there, all he wanted to do was run away from Hugh's horse. And at that time, Hugh just started to roll in a little bit. Didn't get me tight, but he just took on the rail. And in the process, my saddle started to shift to the left. I lost my balance. And in, as I come off, I got knocked out and was unconscious. Don't remember what happened. I haven't seen the fall. I don't want to see the fall. Yeah, and that's all I can tell you about what happened.
You look like a stunt rider for a second or two. You're hanging off the near side there, and it didn't look good.
I was. I was hanging on to it. I've got pretty good balance, and but when the saddle went, I didn't have a chance.
No. Now let's wind the clock back a bit. Kilmore. You were born there, the shins. You could have well been behind the horses in a sulky, and I think there were a few saddlers in the family, were there?
There was actually. I think I went back through my family history only a few months back, and there's saddlers. I think my family around Wagga. Steeped in tradition in harness racing. My dad was a jockey. Yeah, they're wonderful horsemen. The shins, and lucky enough to have a little bit of that come my way. And from such a young age, that's all I've ever wanted to do. And be involved in horses, and I've got a great affinity with them. And, yep, I still love them, so... When I get back right, I'll be doing what I love.
Well, your dad, Gerald Shin, was a champion apprentice. Weight got him in the end, though. That was the problem, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I didn't have much to do with my father. Sort of mum and dad, they broke up at a very young age, and my stepdad raised me, Lee. I had a little bit to do with dad. He sort of come in and out of my life, but and then he passed away when I was about 19, but from what I was told, from even the trainers in Sydney, who were jockeys in their era, they said my dad was one of the best they've ever seen, one of the best there was. So that makes me very proud. I wish I got to sort of know him a little bit more and been able to see him ride, but. It's good being able to hear those good things about him anyway.
Mm. Lee Hope has been a wonderful influence on your life, and I saw one report where he asked you to explore a variety of sports inside and outside of racing.
Yeah, he did. I was very lucky to have a person like Lee raise me. Because he's a very, very caring person, very respectful person. He's got great ethics and morals, and he brought me up the right way and never pushed me into anything. He tried to advise me in the right direction and, give me a lot of support and my family and... for that I'm forever grateful, and we're great friends now. And when I started riding, he supported me in everything, gave me opportunities when I had really no idea what I was doing. And he's had a lot of apprentices throughout the time, and he's a wonderful mentor to young kids. And he's just a great person. And I'm lucky to have him as my stepdad and as a great friend.
You're very strong on family. I've seen times where you've hopped the plane down there to Victoria to ride one for him, and it's given you the greatest thrill ever when you won.
Yeah, I'm strong on family. I'm important. Like, I think through thick and thin, the way I've been brought up, through thick and thin, when times are tough, no matter how good you're going bad or going good. You know, you got to be there. I've been taught you just got to be there for your family and your friends. And, you know, that's the way Mum and Lee brought me up. And even riding for my stepdad, whether it's a maiden or a good one race, you try as hard, and because it every race means just as much to the trainer or the owner, because the same work goes in. So he taught me that, and going down to Melbourne to ride a winner for them, that it's extra special.
I'm Chin Wagon with Blake Shin, and Blake, to be young apprentices listening at the moment, and I want them to hear your description of this race in a moment. May 2003, Suavette, your first ride in the race. Give us an appraisal of how you went.
Oh, it was a bit of a blur, to be honest. But I got around safe.
Yeah,
it jumped well. I sat out the back. Didn't have a clue what I was doing. Just rode the rail. Pushed it out a little bit. Didn't try to do anything too cute. And look, I rode it okay. For a first time, but I think for a first time, any first time jockey, I think you just got to don't try and win. You just go out there and enjoy the experience, because it's pretty tough, and that's the way my stepdad told me to go out there and enjoy it. And I was a bit of a long shot, and it was a memorable day.
You must have fond memories of a bloke called Dennis Berryman. He put you on Clearly Unique at Kilmore. That was your first winner.
Yeah, Dennis. I still, I can still remember that. I rode a few winners for Dennis throughout my career, and she was a lovely, lovely grey horse. would you believe the saddle slipped that day? And I just was passed. I was lucky to stay on her. Saddle went forward, and she just jumped and led, and basically, I did nothing on her. Well, I couldn't do anything on her, and. She got the money, and that was the start of it all. So it was great.
It would have been hairy at the saddle popping up over the wither, and you hanging on for grim death.
It was very hairy. It was great to do it in my hometown with all my family and friends there, and it was so good to be able to do it in my hometown where I grew up. It was it was wonderful.
Now, about 18 months later, Stephen Theodore put you on a horse called Count Ricardo, and that must have been a huge thrill for you.
Sandown Classic, we're going back a long time there. The Sandown Classic, that was really one of my first big race wins. One of a great opportunity, one of my first big opportunities, and I was able to capitalise on that in a really, really big race. I think it's called the Zipping Classic now, and was able to get him home, and that was another start of a path of winning some good races.
He was a horse I think they only paid a couple of thousand bucks for as well.
Yeah, that just goes to show, Cozzy, you don't have to source out the millions to get a really good horse.
Group 1 winners are hard to come by, Blake, but for you, you must have thought, wow, the stars have aligned at 17 years of age, the Adelaide Cup, and you got the money on Demerger.
Yes, no, that was a great day. I was with my stepdad in Adelaide. I was serving a suspension, would you believe? I've had a few of them over my time, but I was over there with my stepdad. We had a horse called Intriguing in the getting set for the Sydney Cup, who ran third in the Adelaide Cup that I won. And I didn't have a ride when we were over there, but I was there working with a horse, my stepfather's horse. And Demerger won one of the lead-ups, and it was getting into the race with a lightweight 51 kilos, and I chased the ride for it. Danny O'Brien gave me a lot of opportunities as a young apprentice, and thankfully they put me on. Things went to plan, and she was amazing that day. She won tremendously well. I ended up going on and riding her in a Melbourne Cup, and that was very special to win that first Group 1. It's what all young jockeys strive to do, get that Group 1.
Yeah, at 17, it must have been surreal to think you pull up and you think, I'm 17, I've been riding about 2 years and I've got a Group 1 winner under my belt.
Yeah, couldn't believe it. It was an amazing start to my career early, you know. I really took off. I see young riders now where, you know, they have to really grind hard to get success. And for me, it happened very quickly. No, I know I worked hard for it, but, achieving big races come pretty sudden. So, it was good in one sense, and in another hand, maybe it wasn't, because you maybe value it a little bit differently. You sort of might think it comes a bit easy, but now I can look at it a little bit differently.
Well, as I said, your first race ride was May 2003, but in the 2004 and 5 season, you battled it out with a bloke called Nick Ryan, who's now training. He was a very good rider, and you finished up winning the Scobie Breasley Medal in the Premiership.
Yeah, that was a wonderful sense of accomplishment for myself. We had a great battle for the Melbourne Metropolitan Premiership, and it's nice to reflect on those times, Cozzy, because I don't really do that much looking back. And Nick and I, we had some great it was good rivalry. We got along well. He was a really, really good competitor, great young man, and good rider. I remember him riding a horse called a Lingy, getting good opportunities, and I was getting mine. And I remember hitting the front. I started riding in town maybe 3 months later than he did, and he was probably 15 wins in front of me. And about three meetings to go, I hit the lead at Caulfield, and I incurred a suspension, and that cost me the premiership, I felt. And yeah, going home that day, it was really gut-wrenching, because I knew I lost it. And then I went on to win the Scobie Breasley Medal, and that made me feel a little bit better. But it was good times battling out with Nick, and unfortunately, weight sort of got the better of him, and now he's going training and making a name for himself. So that's really good to see for his sake.
Now, I'm chin wagging with Blake Shim. We're going to wind the clock back to the day Bart Cummings had a chat to you in the mounting yard and said, you're on view. What instructions did Bart give before that Melbourne Cup? Did he give any, or just say, you know what you're doing?
Well, as we all know, Mr. Cummings was a man of few words. He was a gentleman, I had a little bit to do with, but he never gave too much away. He gave me a fair few rides throughout my whole career and helped me. I can remember right from a young age, I think I won the St. Leger on a horse called Accumulate, maybe when I was around 17. And in that cup, I can recall him saying to me, because I rode him in the Caulfield Cup and we were a little bit luckless, and then he had a run in the McKinnon, which is a traditional lead-up that Bart liked to do with his horses. And he didn't have much luck that day. And all Mr. Cummings said was, he just wanted him to have clear galloping room and every opportunity. And I was able to do that. I established a position, one off the rail, clear galloping room. Coming into the turn, the horse just was travelling so well. He just ambled up to them. I hit the front a bit too early. But he was just going super. And he put a margin on him at the 350, and I was just praying that we were going to hold on, and thankfully he did by the barest of margin. It was a very special day, a day I'll never forget.
The last 200 metres, you must have had your heart in your mouth thinking, I hope there's no sweeper coming.
Was I ever. I could sense power coming. It was coming fast from the 300, and Corey Burney was riding as hard as ever. And from about the 200, I really thought he was going to get me. And it was a ding dong battle, and could have went either way. But I'll just have to thank the good Lord for that. He, he really helped us, on that occasion, I think, Cozzy.
Well, Blake, you got a lot of publicity out of winning the Cup on Viewed. You got probably as much today at Canterbury when you lost your jotties halfway down the straight.
Oh, God, that was a side. That was a side. I don't even want to see again, buddy. I tell you. Quite embarrassing, that one.
That made news everywhere that day. There you were with your bare backside up in the air, strides down around your knees.
I wear button-up strides, button-up silks from now on. I don't have the Velcro silks, mate, I tell you.
The lovely thing was, you auctioned them off and got good money for the National Jockeys Trust.
Yeah, we did. We tried to raise a bit of money and give it to a good cause, and thankfully we did. I hope I can raise a bit of money a different way next time.
Instead of me flashing, what did the stewards say that day when you came back? Did they have a laugh?
I did have a laugh, and everyone else did too. So I'm glad they were laughing about me and not someone else. So that was all right anyway.
Now, in 2007, I think it was April, you moved to Sydney. Gay Waterhouse said, come on up. And you moved up there, and that was just a great moment for you. Been a real change to your life.
Yeah, it was. I didn't know what to expect, but, obviously Gay Waterhouse is held in the highest regard by, the whole racing fraternity and the First Lady in racing. I've got the utmost respect for Gay Waterhouse, and to get a call from her stable, I was really taken back by that. It was an opportunity that I couldn't refuse, and it was a wonderful couple of years learning from Gay and riding under her. I was able to have access to world-class horses and, really be put under serious pressure and, riding in big races on top-class horses. And it was a great time and really put me, put me in the scene in Sydney and around Australia as a rider. And I'm forever grateful for that and still am. And we've got a great relationship now to this day, and I still ride for her. I only want a Group 1 for Gay in the winter on a horse that I dearly love, Prompt Response. And, it was good times, and long may our association continue, and I think it will.
I reckon you must have a real soft spot in your heart for Happy Clapper.
Do I ever. I've got a soft spot for him, yeah, and his trainer. Pat Webster, they go hand in hand. They're as tough as nails, but they're beautiful, beautiful and honest, I really enjoy riding him. He's a horse that I started riding about his fifth start, and I got on him and he just kept winning, and I build up a great association with him and an understanding of him, and he's just amazing. Puts his heart on the line every time for me, and really winning that Doncaster on him was just so special. Horses like him and Who Shot the Barman, I love riding horses like them that the public get behind and really appreciate it. That's why I love what I do.
Blake, it must have been tough 2010 when you were out for a period, found having a bet. And then that must have been a tough time. You're out for a while, but you've come back, you've just moved on from that, and it's been fantastic.
Yeah, that was a tough time. It was a time that, we all make mistakes in life, and that was a mistake. Or a period in my life that, that I've certainly learnt from. To be honest, I'm glad it happened, because if it didn't happen, I wouldn't be the person that I have grown into today. I wouldn't have what I have now. And, you know, it's behind me. We move on. Thankfully, you know, I was given another chance at my career, and, you know, full steam ahead. And, you know, we're going great guns, and we haven't looked back since.
Now, Blake, finally, if you were riding in the Oaks today, you've obviously had a look at the field. What horse would you like to be on?
Look, what horse I'd like to be on? I'd like to be on Amphitrite. I think, Ozzy, she's, you know, although, yes, it's a question mark at the trip,
yeah.
I think that her breeding suggests that she may get the distance. I think the run in the 1,000 guineas was absolutely outstanding. She was luckless in the, you know, in the group, the Empire Rose. But I think she's a quality filly. She's trained by Darren Weir. I know she'll be fit enough. It's whether she can stay. The class can carry you all the way in these three-year-old village races. And if I had the chance to be riding one, she'd be my pick for sure.
It must be hard for a lot of these fillies who haven't raced past a mile. All of a sudden, they're at 2,500. They're going into uncharted waters today, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. And you know what? It'll all come down to pace. If it's a race like it was when last year, where Brenton rode a brilliant race on the Sweaty Spirit, then probably Amphitrite's got no chance. But if it's a sedate pace, then it's going to play into a horse like the one I just mentioned, because its turn of foot is far superior, in my opinion, to the rest.
Well, Blake, it's been fantastic having a chinwag with you this morning, mate. Really appreciate it. We can't wait to see you back in the saddle. And let's hope you pick up pace with that injury too and start getting ahead of time.
Thanks, Crosby. It's been great chatting. And, hopefully I won't be too far away from getting back. Thank you.
Good on you. Thanks, Blake. Blake Shin, my guest this morning, chinwag. Fantastic to catch up with him. We wish him all the best.